chapter 10, verses 24 through 48. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask then, why you sent for me?" And Cornelius said, "4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea.' So I went for you at once. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked him to remain for some days. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I can only speak for myself that I know I take this passage for granted. We're used to John 3:16, God loves everyone, and we look in the mirror and say, what's not to love, right? It's easy to say that God loves all people, and everyone likes to hear that. And yet, God loves all the world is the overflow of his love. It's the overflow of his abundant mercy and grace. And that's the point in our lesson here from Acts. Jesus came first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. But now there are no ranks. There's no preference. We are all one as we are all in Jesus. He came, he died, and he rose again to forgive all people. But it's all of us because Jesus now covers all of us. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the promise given to the people of Israel, and we get the benefit of it. It overflows to us as well. And we see examples of this in the Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, we think of Jonah. It's one of my favorite stories. And yet, you almost never see a book that gets it right. It just kind of ends after he gets spit up by the fish. And Jonah learned his lesson. The end. No, the whole point of Jonah is that God sent one of his prophets to his people, to another nation, to them, to call them to repent and have faith in God's promises. And Jonah doesn't want to go because he knows that God will keep that promise, that he will forgive them if they repent. That's the whole point. In the New Testament, when Jesus is with the Syrophoenician woman, she asks him to heal her daughter, to heal her daughter. And Jesus says, "I've come for the Jewish people. I can't give what I'm coming to give them to you." But she's persistent. and he rewards her faith. He gives to her out of the overflow of his love and mercy. And now that overflow comes to us. Before our text for today, the beginning of Acts chapter 10, Peter has seen the vision of the sheet being lowered with all the different kinds of animals on it, and God saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat," and him having questions about what that means, and God telling him, "Don't call anything uncommon or unclean that I have called clean." Peter doesn't know exactly what to do with that, but as you go through the book of Acts, you see a couple of times where the Holy Spirit takes someone somewhere to teach them what God's point is. And that's exactly what happens. Holy Spirit tells him to go with the people who are coming to gather him, and he goes with them. He goes to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile man, and Peter makes the point that it's not usually right for a Jewish person to come into the house of a Gentile because we would be unclean. But now I get it, that the Holy Spirit has called all people clean in Jesus. We're already told that Cornelius is a faithful person, but he hadn't known Jesus yet. And so Peter has come to tell him about Jesus, who has come to Israel, who was sent to the people to fulfill God's promises. He makes this point that God has shown him that no person should be common or unclean, so when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius explains the vision. He had to call Peter. And so at the end of verse 33, he says, "So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." But Peter's not God. Peter's already corrected that mistake as Cornelius fell in front of him to worship him, and he stands him up to say, "Don't worship me. We only worship one God." But with Peter, he brings God. He brings the Word. He brings Jesus. So that even as we sit here, you are in the presence of God as you are in the presence of God's Word. You are in the presence of Jesus, who is God's Word. And so Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." And he goes on to lay out Jesus' story. What Paul calls in 1 Corinthians 15, those things of which are most important. That Jesus was baptized, he entered his ministry, he did good things, he lived, he died, he rose again from the dead to forgive sins, and that Peter and the disciples are witnesses to this. And we see this beautiful consistency between the Old Testament and New Testament, because in verse 43 he says, "To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." So all of the Old Testament was the witness pointing us to Jesus. And now we, Peter and the disciples, are the witnesses now to point you to Jesus. That all of this focuses us on who Jesus is and what he has done for all people. He didn't come to destroy the law to say, "Never mind, you don't have to not go into Gentiles' houses anymore." Instead, he says, "I fulfilled it and I cover you. Now all people are clean as they are in me." This is the most important thing. When we think back to Acts chapter 2 and the Holy Spirit falling on the Jews at Pentecost, now we come to Acts chapter 10 and the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. Peter preaches these words and the Holy Spirit falls down on them and they start sharing and preaching in other tongues as well. All of the nations to which the Jews had been sharing Jesus now have received the Holy Spirit. So that we see again, there's no rank. There's no, "Well, you could be the Jews because they got the Holy Spirit, but you're Gentiles now. And that's almost as good, but not quite." Instead, we're all the same as we are in Christ. And so he keeps the command that Jesus gave before he ascended. "Go baptizing all people, teaching them all that I have commanded you." So that's what he does. He teaches who Jesus is. He baptizes them. And they ask him to stay. And the beauty of all of this, again, is this includes you. This pulls you into this as well. That, as Paul says in Romans and Galatians and Colossians, there are now no distinctions. We all have one Lord. We are all in one faith. And this is the message we proclaim. We don't need to spice it up. We don't need to find cool new ways to say it. Instead, we let the Word do the work. And we share this all around the world and even to our neighbors. We always like to broadly speak of, I love all neighbors, all people, even the person I don't know way across the world. But this includes the person directly next to us as well. That we get to tell them as well that the God that they want to please, the God that they look for when times are difficult, is the God who has revealed himself right here. That that is where they need to look, and that is the God that loves them and cares for them. That he has come to forgive their sins. That he has come to give them life everlasting, and that is the same message he gives to you. That he gives you life in Jesus' name. Amen. And the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.